Welcome to the Moment in Ministry podcast. In a world that's filled with fear and anxiety, it is now, more than ever, imperative that those which are called by Christ's name turn and look upon Him.
Hello again to Pastor Steve Dameron, Moment in Ministry. I'm with Pastor Jerry Ross again. And this time we're going to talk about youth.
Amen.
That was a little, I don't know, that was hesitant. All right, we left that world.
I don't know. I think there's a little teenager in Brother Dameron here. I think there's just maybe.
I'm very mature.
Yeah. There's a little junior high age boy that still gets out every once in a while.
All right, so let me introduce some. All right, we'll talk some about your books.
All right.
They're all right. All right, I'm not going to recommend them or anything. But all right, so the one that kind of put you on the map was the Stay in the Castle.
Right, right.
Okay, so explain a little bit about Stay in the Castle, and then what we'll do is we'll put, do you have a website that people
sure.
can go to?
Yeah.
So we'll put the website at the bottom of the screen. And if you're wanting to buy one or two, he'll probably give you a huge discount.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Please take them.
Right. You say Baptist, it doubles. All right. He has a website you can go to buy some of these things. And they've been a help to a lot of folks. I know our youth, our families, and I really appreciate it. Even over the last number of years, you put a number of other books together. Right. So the Stay in the Castle kind of put you on the map. So explain a little bit of that.
Well, the Stay in the Castle, I tell everybody I'm an accidental author, because the Stay in the Castle booklet was written for a banquet that we had with our teenagers that I decided to use that as a theme. And I told Cheryl, I want to send something home with them. I told the story, and I flew in the young lady that it involved that's now on the mission field.
Oh.
And she was a bus kid, a Chicago bus kid at the time, you know, and I flew her back from Mexico, her and her husband, so that I could tell the story and then surprise, introduce them, have her tell her side of it. And then I said, I'd like them to have some kind of a little keepsake to take home with them. She said, well, you tell that story. Why don't you just type it out, you know, in a story form. We'll make a little booklet. We made 30 copies for a banquet to hand out to our teens with no vision of that booklet going anywhere except just as a keepsake for one thing. So we ended up making 50 copies. We had 30 teens there. I had 20 left over, and then folks in the church got a hold of them and said, do you have any extra? And then one thing led to another, and next thing you know, we're constant. And we're making these, you know, homemade on a, you know, jet ink computer, stapling them, trimming with scissors. They were terrible. But finally, I just looked at her one day, because folks, they got outside the church, people are calling, and I finally said, I don't know a thing about printing, but we got to find a printer, and we got to find someone to print this for us. And now over 200,000 copies of Stay in the Castle is out there, which to me, you know, sometimes you see this much of a vision, and God sees that, you know.
That's kind of neat.
So it's a neat thing. It's not like I sat down one day and said, I think I'll be an author, you know. Just do what God puts in your heart and let Him run with it. But that story is basically a story to inspire young people to wait for God's perfect will in a marriage partner. Not just to stay pure, but to wait for that one. Because I believe the devil always sends a counterfeit into the life of a young person before God will send the real one. And if the young people aren't patient, or they don't include the parents, that seems to be a real big problem. Where, you know, if you have to have a secret relationship, that ought to tell you that you can't share with mom and dad. That's all the evidence you need, and you know really in your heart that it's not the right thing. But the devil's going to trot somebody to you, because if he can get you to marry out of the will of God, I mean, it's not like you can't recover and do some things, but you're sacrificing the majority of God's perfect will if you marry the wrong person. So
that's the Stay in the Castle.
That's the Stay in the Castle.
All right, and I know you and I have talked about this. You have a 2-year Sunday school curriculum?
Yes, 114 Bible lessons, 104 because 2 years of 52. And volume one, I'm going to get volume two out eventually.
Yeah.
We've got the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ booklet, which of course is sort of the Lord publishes for me. And they that book's been super well received. That's the second book we wrote.
Yep.
And then some of the recent ones, the 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity. My wife helped me, and we co-wrote the 21 Tenets of Biblical Femininity. And again, just listening to pastors and youth pastors frustrated about this trend we're seeing.
It's unbelievable. There's an attack on Christian manhood. Not just on manhood. The world says manhood, but I say Christian manhood.
Yes, right.
Because Christian manhood is different.
That's right.
And that's what I know your book addresses, that because, you know, I'm not talking, you know, we both know this because we're young.
Right.
So there was a guy in our young years, in our older years, mm-hmm. There was a guy, I think Rambo, you know, different guys like that. But they were considered, man, you know, so, and I've even told our parents, I've tried to teach them, I said, the problem, really, in the 80s, there was still the world. Mm-hmm. But if a guy was worldly, he went and lifted weights.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's like, hey, right, you know, and he's putting a thing on his head. It's like, I'm tough, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, all right, he's worldly, but at least he kind of looks like a man. Now, if a kid is worldly, he's putting on skinny jeans.
Yes.
All right, you can't even figure out what he looks like. You're is that a guy, a girl?
Right.
All right, and there's just an attack on manhood. Christian manhood is misunderstood.
Yes, yes.
And so...
Well, three times in the Bible you see this phrase where it says, God created man in his image. Then it says, male and female created he them. Two times in Genesis, Jesus repeats it in Matthew. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, anytime God mentions something three times specifically, he drew a very specific line. And anytime God draws a specific line and says, I'm dividing two things very specifically, the devil always attacks that line. Because anything God God has deemed to be separate, the devil's going to say, oh yeah, we'll watch this and try to... And we've just got to be careful we don't get caught up in what the culture's pushing.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, increasingly young men are acting more and more effeminate, young ladies more masculine.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about having written a book. I like what you said. This is 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity.
Yes.
This isn't Jerry Ross's rant about what I like or don't like, my personal feelings
it's
about
biblical.
It. It's biblical.
And that's very important.
Yes.
And our guys have to be biblically based, biblically sound. And I'm seeing that. I know you and I have talked about it. It's our theme for the week. I am so tired of not just young men, but older guys that just... whenever you bring up the Bible, they're like, well, why did you have to ruin our conversation? You
know?
I thought we were doing all right, and then you had to back it up with the Bible.
Right.
Well, I'm finding that because a lot of us weren't backing up our life with the Bible, our young people aren't.
Yes, yeah.
And then now, so they're filling up the neo-churches.
Right, right. And that's a valid point because, you know, we want to make sure that what we believe about masculinity, femininity, or anything is absolutely Bible-based. And I did a study on the phrases young man and young men in the Bible and just chased it Genesis to Revelation, did a topical study on it. 21 very definite biblical principles, you know, flowed from that. And, you know, I thank God for the opportunity to be able to write and to, because you can impact past your Jerusalem, you know. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are writing, and all they're writing is fluff. It's redesigned humanistic philosophies with a little Jesus sprinkled on top. Right. And that's what you're getting from these progressive churches and some of the so-called new independent fundamental Baptists. And they don't have a Bible basis for what they believe.
No.
They want to attack what we believe, but they don't have a Bible basis for what they believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, to break down this barrier between men and women causes such confusion. And it is the thing that leads to the destruction of the family and the family unit. And, you know, the people that were so offended because some of us didn't jump on the feminist bandwagon in the 1970s and we didn't fight to preserve femininity are the same ones now that are crying because some pervert's following their granddaughter into a restroom.
Yeah, right.
Well, excuse me, but you know, when you start tearing down those barriers between men and women, you open Pandora's box.
Right.
And now the things that we're upset about, we have to start taking responsibility for. We helped create it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time. And just a challenge to folks that work with youth. It's exciting.
Amen.
Both of us, we still love working with youth,
Amen.
Even though we're both We can't say that ex- word.
More experienced than we were.
Yeah, we're very mature people now. All right. But I would just challenge you, and I tell this to our youth, remember now thy creator in the days of
day. Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
It can be a wonderful time, and that's why I think the devil attacks it so much. So
amen.
Just
amen.
A challenge to you. Thanks again for your time.
You're welcome.